April 4th, 2017. And this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth. We're broadcasting from the Santa Cruz Mountains in California. From Lupin Lodge, where clothing is optional.
But the truth is always naked.
I'm Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider. And once again, we welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation about the human condition and all its eccentricities, what to make of it, sprinkled with laughter, good music, and the many voices of Errol Strider.
One voice is
Okay, none of those voices will be playing tonight, but I'm glad I got them out of my system.
Me too.
Our show is sponsored by our good friend Jeremy Bede, sculptor, spiritual sojourner, fellow artist over there in Wiley, Texas. Thank you, Jeremy. We so appreciate it. And go raw. Natural food, raw food, delicious, good for you, available in Safeway, Costco.
Go to goraw.com to find out.
Our program, by the way, like most everything in life, depends on many things in order to happen. And that's why "it depends" is the featured phrase of the week. For you to take your very next breath depends on so much, the least of which is breathable air. And consider what life, let alone a really healthy life, depends on to sustain itself and grow in healthy ways. Let's face it, we are a very dependent species. But are we dependable? There's the rub. We can determine a lot of what each of us depends on to maintain ourselves. But here's the big question. What does our dependability depend on? That's what we're going to be exploring tonight in our conversation. And since one of the things that we believe is helpful is to see things anew, new perspective. So we're going to provide that tonight for you. But in order for you to get the most out of it, it really depends upon your actually being there and listening. So stay tuned. We depend upon you for our message to reach out into the lives of those who could most benefit from it.
It depends. What am I supposed to depend on in this finite world, where eventually everything breaks down and dies? That's it. That is exactly what I can depend on. Everything will eventually break down and die. But for a little while, before I meet with that dependable fate, I have choices to enjoy this little time or curse my time. And if you're listening, you know exactly what I have chosen.
Well, that depends.
I'm sure it does.
It depends on so many things to make it work that we should find ourselves being very humbled. Hold it. Breaking news. Rochelle is putting a napkin underneath, a rolled-up napkin, mind you, underneath her headphones.
So that they don't fall down.
In order to keep them on her head. Her head's gotten smaller. Some people's heads, when they get older and more mature...
Not the reason. I've changed my hairstyle is the reason.
Oh. But I want to get back to this whole thing about depends. What does our dependability depend on? For example, is it a certain level of awareness? It's being responsive. It's being respectful. I was just listening today in the Keys of Yeshua, and he was talking about the miracle of life and how the seven universe intelligences, one of which is respect. And respect is something that we depend on to, at the very least, feel good about ourselves and our associations. Would you say so, Professor? Of course, this is Professor Umbridge, and it's always important, vital, if you say, to have respect. And if you don't have respect, then everything will collapse. And that's what you're experiencing now, I'm afraid, because there's just so little respect for other life that lives in the forms of other people's bodies. Not to mention other animals and species' bodies and the body of the planet. And so, because of lack of respect, there is this tragic breakdown that's happening piecemeal everywhere. And that's piecemeal, mind you, and it's not for sale. And you can't get a piece of that meal unless you stand in line and wait for your turn, like everyone else. But that's not quite the point. I do digress. The point is that in order to make progress, we do depend on respect for one another. So what does having respect for one another depend on? That's my question.
It's a good question. A lot of it has to do with understanding what it is to respect something, to see it as something you're connected to, something that is necessary, something that you need. We respect people that are good to us. We respect people that fill our needs. We respect people who we aspire to be like. So respect depends on a lot of things.
It depends upon being responsible, I think, and it also depends upon having an honest, fair regard for one another rather than putting us down or betraying us in some way, lying to us. Would you say so, my dear?
Oh, absolutely. That's exactly what I meant. Think, too, that everything depends on what we believe. If I believe that the universe is a friendly place, then I will behave that way. So it depends on what I believe. If I believe the universe is going to kick me in the jaw, then it's pretty much what I will get.
It really comes down to that, doesn't it? What we depend on.
It depends on how you see it. It depends whether you like it or not. It depends on how you see it. It depends whether you like it or not. It depends on how you see it. It depends whether you like it or not. It depends on how you see it. It depends, yeah, like it or not.
Thank you, Stephen Nero, for reminding us that it depends on how you see it, perception, and whether you like it or not.
I couldn't have said it better. I know I definitely couldn't have sung it better, but I couldn't. That's exactly what I believe.
Really?
Yep, that's what I said. Everything depends on what we believe. It's how we see it, whether we like it or not, or it's all about that.
So there's perception. I'm reminded of a concept from A Course in Miracles where it talks about the relationship between what you perceive determines what you think about it, is determined by your values, and it all the way goes back to is determined by who you think made you. And they bring it right down to the nitty-gritty. By the way, the nitty-gritty has shown up in many places these days. CNN did a special on the Nitty Gritty.
They're making a movie.
Starring.
Because it was a bestseller.
We want you to appreciate the Nitty Gritty, because if it were not for the Nitty Gritty,
the tire wouldn't hit the road.
Yeah, and it depends, so therefore it depends on that. The Nitty Gritty, though, is who made me? If I believe that this separated self, the ego, somehow made me, or maybe it's evolution made me, in the sense that all these prior forces that I depend on to have gotten to the point where I can emerge in existence as an independent consciousness.
And then you go back to, well, what made the first thing that made me?
Exactly. I want to go back to that subject too, because that's important. They talk about 13 billion years. We're coming up on our birthday, by the way.
Oh, we are.
Yeah, less than a billion years. It's going to be right here. But if who made me is a product of, let's say, the presence of love, that it's love. Now, when you look at the world, it doesn't seem like that love is dominant. He talks about cruelty and this and that is dominant.
I think in every book, may I go ahead? The question is, I want to interrupt.
Well, where's the love in all that?
When a mother sees a child that she wanted to have for the first time, there's love. Just, it's there. It's love. It's nourishing. It's nurturing. It has no separation. The connection is so replete. So creation itself births love, or love births creation. Which is it, the chicken or the egg? They go together. And that which fosters creation is love. When we know that, it exists. Do we play it out in loving terms? Like, are we caring and compassionate and nice to each other and all those things? Which is love?
It depends.
Yeah. We're not cruel. And I would say the majority of human beings on the planet are not cruel. They're more mothering, fathering beings.
Well, it depends.
Yeah, it depends on where you're looking at it.
Right, and we all have our moments.
We see the cruelty because it's exciting and dramatic, and then we also don't want it near us, so we keep it at bay by watching it in movies and television.
On a tube.
Right.
Right. So you could argue that to a great degree, we humans have become tubified, and we have tubifitis. People don't see it that way. They think this is the problem, that's the problem, but it's really tubifitis. And you know you're afflicted with tubifitis by the amount of time you spend looking at a tube of one kind or another.
Well, everything is a tube. As I realized the other day, and I think I told you, what I realized is that this thing called artificial intelligence, it exists. We talk in our phones. We talk to the phone, and the phone talks back to us. We tell the phone where we want to go, and the phone tells us how to get there. I realized that, and I went, oh, my God, we are in the future, in my future, in terms of where I started from, the 20th century. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. But can we depend on it? Because it's always breaking down.
This is Professor Schnitzer, and I've been looking at the breaking down because everything is moving toward chaos. Chaos is the natural environment of existence, and it takes energy to bring things into order when it wants to go to chaos. The universe wants to take a big vacation in a place called chaos, where they can just do whatever it feels like. It doesn't have to be in order, because when it's in order, it doesn't know whether it's first or last or in the middle. So the order is a line, and the people have to fall into line and see what the order is. But that takes work, like I said, on chaos. Sometimes it's like couch potato chaos. You just sit there and you allow the potatoes and the couches to just overcome you until you're overwhelmed, and then you will turn back into chaos. And this is the latest theory that they are thinking of now. It's called the new couch potato chaos theory. But it depends.
Oh, Professor Snitchell.
Okay, what does it depend on? The couch potato chaos theory. That's good. It depends on, number one, having a couch. Number two, knowing where to aim the couch. If you're aiming at the tube, then you are a genuine chaos-driven couch potato. But if you aim the couch like at the window, oh, then it's a different thing there.
There was a program called Friends, and there was an episode with one of the characters named Joey. Met a woman who didn't have a television, and he was absolutely astonished. And his thing was, how did she know where to put her couch if she didn't have a TV?
It's funny.
I thought it was funny. We're so addicted to our television. Therefore, we arrange our entire room around it.
Being able to watch television is a discreet pleasure. Shared by millions, though.
Billions.
Actually, billions. Yeah. But is real life happening when you're engaged with the tube? That's the question that comes to my mind. I was listening to Chris Hedges talk today, as he points out. You're basically alone. If you're just you and the tube, you are, in fact, alone.
And where were you and how were you when you were listening to Chris Hedges?
I was alone.
That's right.
And he's someone who really is looking squarely in the face of the breakdown of so much of our culture as it has been taken over by the corporate elite, et cetera, et cetera. Basically, he comes down to the same conclusion that we have to get together, live bodies, out in the streets in order to have an effect on shifting or moving things. And he also points out, he's talking about intellectuals, how few of the intellectuals actually get out there on the street and march compared to all the academics. It takes a lot of motivation, depends on commitment to change, which is why increasing the motivation to change is the first step.
Depends on that.
So what would motivate you to change? Well, this is Father O'Reilly there, and I would recommend that the change is when you get a fire up your butt. Did I say O'Reilly? I was just with my brother-in-law. He's also O'Reilly. And sometimes when I look at him, I think it's myself because we're so much alike. And I called him Father O'Reilly, even though his name is Jack Pilsner, actually.
Oh, my.
But we don't mind that there. What we would like to emphasize tonight, Errol and Rochelle, and it's always such a delight to be with you, is that when you make available to yourself, or when make yourself available to the all-consuming presence of the nurturing, life-giving force that is just permeating everything, and you realize you're part of that permeation, well, then you can just kick back and relax with it. But, as they say, it depends. Are you willing to trust it? And that's really what it comes down to. So developing a way to have trust is certainly one of the things it depends on. Don't you think there, Rochelle?
I've just finished reading two books that took place during the Second World War. Both of them had to do with a lot of cruelty to human beings. And I realized that, did we sit back and relax at it? No, we sat back because we were frightened. Because the forces of cruelty were so scary and so dominating that we sat back. We didn't run out in the streets and protest. We would have been shot, which people were. People who protested were shot. So it was a life or death thing. The people who were cruel had no compunction about being cruel. They were the dominant force, and anything less than them was to be obliterated. It was that simple. And when you have an equation like that, what can you see life as being something to sit back and enjoy? I don't know. It's pretty scary. So I think it depends so much on not just our choices, but our choices in circumstances. If I choose life in a circumstance that proposes death, and I choose life, I can die choosing life, which is, I know I'm going to die. I want to choose life in the moment of my death, meaning that joy, I want to be full of that force when I'm leaving. It's been very depressing to be reading these things. At the same time, it's been very exhilarating because the books are talking about survivors, people who have redeemed themselves as a result of these horrible cruelties. So in that sense, it's been very inspiring. In the other sense, it's been But you talked about this, you and I. We talked about humanity, inhuman. And I thought, well, maybe it's not inhuman. Maybe it's human. Maybe that's just where we are on the evolutionary scale. We're reptilian. We're going to kill each other. We're going to destroy whoever stands in our way.
It depends. Would you agree, Barney? Well, I would be the first in line to say it depends, because you got humans who think they're humans and humans who don't think at all. And then you got the non-thinkers thinking about the other humans as someone that they would like to eliminate. There was a fellow there, I was listening on the radio the other day, and he was of the mind that this is like in the 19th century, that the wealthy deserve to be the wealthy and the poor deserve to be poor. And that's just the way it was set up by the original thing that made it all. Of course, that continues to this day to a certain extent. So what you're talking about is that it is lacking in the very respect. So the question is, what does it depend on to have people to be so insensitive and uncaring to one another, even to the point of cruelty? What does that depend on that you would arrive at that point of view? Is it just strictly that lower brain is just takes in charge, gets triggered, and it's fight or flight and all its variables and variations that happen in people dealing with the world, taking stuff away from them, hitting them, hurting them, this, that, and the other? What is coming out of that state of being depend on? What can happen to a person that might jar him loose of that self-narcissistic orientation to life into a sense that he is sharing life with a bunch of other creatures that also are wanting to enjoy their lives? What does that depend on? While we think about that, here's someone who talks about how we depend.
Yesterday brought feathers and scarlet letters. Today brought time lost in the hollow. Reading books together in the light of gothic panes, I asked you for a walk to the meadow. You said, silly fellow, it all depends. It all depends. It all depends if you love me tomorrow and not just today. It all depends if you love me tomorrow and not just today. Cleaning grease at Austin's garage, serving guests at the public house, working my days off thinking of you. I didn't have the courage to say a simple thing. You asked me to meet you down near the vicar's place. I said, it all depends. It all depends. It all depends if you love me tomorrow and not just today. It all depends if you love me tomorrow and not just today. This town got smaller as the years got longer, and we did a lot of things together. People still wonder how we're never tired of being here and didn't move away to the city. Well, it all depends. It all depends. It all depends if we love each other tomorrow and not just today. Yeah.
Juan Hoy. Thank you. That's an interesting lyric. Will you love me tomorrow as much as you love me today? What do you think he's saying there about that?
He's nervous. She may not love him as much tomorrow as she did today.
That's funny.
Does he want to put all his eggs in one basket?
Yeah. He can be there.
Or his whatever in her.
It brings me back to the issue of betrayal and how so much of our experience that can lead us to cruelty and anger and so many of our woes is dependent upon having been betrayed and what we do with it, what we do about it. That's why betrayal is, in terms of nitty-gritty, this is like when the nitty and the gritty fuse.
And when a leader has been betrayed and so wants vengeance and gets a whole bunch of people to agree with him, her, about the enemy, the one who betrayed him in some way, a group of people or whatever, It becomes very dangerous and scary.
Of course it does, and it's getting more and more dangerous and scary by the moment because there are so many people who are feeling frightened financially. Their security, their well-being, their health is either at stake or imminently at stake. It's going to be a challenging time. My guess is that it's going to increase because of the direction we've already set ourselves in going. Isn't this true, Rabbi? How you see it?
Well, yeah, the way people are going, they're trying to get it all for themselves before they fall off the planet. You know, they don't know anything. They don't realize what it is they're doing. And so they are falling away into nihilism. Such a place to go is nihilism. It's nothing. Which is why they call it nihilism.
Nihilism is, can you translate that quickly?
Yeah, nihilism is like nothing. It means anything. It's nothing. If that's what's underneath your feeling about life, and so get as much as you can, regardless of the consequences, then that will run your life. And so much of the world is operating on this assumption that they don't have consequences because this is it. This is all they get, and when they get this, they're through. So, in case you can bring it with you, get as much as you can to bring to the pearly gates.
I heard someone speak about if monetary gains wasn't the only reward for doing something, would you do it anyway? In other words, to feel good, to make somebody else feel good, you know, they're not going to pay you. Your business is not going to make billions of dollars. It will get by. It will supply you with what you need, but it's doing a real service, and you take joy in that. We have come down to the one reward in the world we live in. Do you make money? Didn't your mother say that to you? Can you make a living?
Let me just jump in here, because I suspect there are millions of people who, in fact, are doing that. They don't get a lot of press. For example, almost any artist you can think of, someone who's really committed to that, many people, but it's not promoted and it's not
respected.
Okay.
Unless there's a big dollar sign as a reward.
There you have it. I remember talking to a person I knew back in Boulder, and he was a businessman, a real estate guy, and we had a nice connection. I went to some gatherings and I actually did some talks for his group several occasions. Sam was his name. And I remember going back to Boulder, and I ran into Sam, and he, what you doing? I told him we were doing this radio show, and he asked me, are you making any money? And I said, well, no. And then he made some comment like, yeah, you were always that kind of guy or something. But it wasn't an issue, and I don't know if he would mean this, because he seemed like a guy with a pretty good heart and a lot of integrity. But the message is that it doesn't really get much respect. Unless it's like a Van Gogh or something else that's become monetarily valuable.
Then it gets respect, see? Yeah.
But when he was around...
No respect.
No respect. You know, so what good is it?
So it depended on certain things. Getting respect on our planet, for a lot of people, is dependent on if it makes money.
Okay, we get that. Where that's taking us, though, is what's interesting. Where is that going to take us, especially in regard to our political situation that we're dealing with now, which seems to have so much effect? Or is that true? Senator, you're in the field. You're right there in the thick of it. Would you say that's a big part of it? Well, I say, boy, those checks being cashed, they're cashing so much, so fast. Of course, they don't use checks anymore, but they got plastic just moving around and moving money, made on making money, made on making more money. There's no manufacturing here underneath it. There's this delusion that maybe some great person's going to bring back the manufacturing, but the manufacturing, I'm afraid, is just not going to be there. So then you ask this question, what are all these folks going to be doing that aren't going to get the manufacturing jobs that they thought they were dependent on? That means they have to be reoriented, if not retrained, to make themselves available to the new industry that is emerging. That new industry is the industry that emerges out of people uniting together and seeing what good they can do together that will benefit the whole. That's a brand new industry, because it hasn't been run by that sense of things probably ever. That's where we're headed. So you have to rethink and retool your heads and then vote in people that agree with you. This can be done. Vote them in this next election coming up in 2018. Vote in some people who care about the common good. That's all. That simple. Thank you, Senator.
That's simple. Interesting, because a lot of people thought that voting for Trump was doing that. That's what a lot of people thought he stood for. He was the populist. He was going to take care of the coal miners. He was going to take care of all the people out of work. He's going to put America first and put jobs back and create the new infrastructure and everything. Well, maybe he will, maybe he won't. But he has a billionaire cabinet of people who really don't care about the popular people for the most part.
How do you know that?
I've been reading and listening to their confirmations and their little resumes, bios, etc. They want people to be self-sufficient and not depend on government to take care of anything. In fact, they were talking about one man today who is so against any kind of government aid to anybody. And this reporter brought up the fact that he tried to get money from a corporation to improve something he was working on, and he couldn't. So he went to the government and got money for his project. And this reporter said, how quickly we forget our past.
What did he say? Was he confronted by that?
Or... He won't talk to anybody, so...
Oh.
He doesn't talk to anybody.
So he was talking to people would depend upon...
having them believe exactly as he does.
Right.
But if they don't, he doesn't want to talk to them.
There's these forces, then, that exist embodied by certain personalities who are intransigent. They are calcified, and they're immovable, except... insofar as their own perspective is dominant, running things and
self-interest.
What's in charge. Yeah.
There was a lady, this was so inspiring, this woman said, I love Jesus, and I believe that he loved everybody and wanted to care for everybody. And she said, does my belief influence my politics? Yes, because I will vote for people who believe that the smallest person should be taken care of. As he believed, and as I believe he inspired me to believe.
You put your garden to bed, you lay the food away. You seem so ready for the winter coming your way. But then you crouch by the fire as if there's danger near. It all depends on where we go from here. I have my own little fire, much the same as you. keep it alive. Don't even know if I want to. We're in the same living room, separated by fear. Whether we stay depends where we go from here.
Claudia Schmidt. It all depends on where we go from here. Well, here's the good news, the great news. We really do have choice. We have much more choice than we think we have. That's the contrast. There's this fear that gets bigger as our choices are apparently becoming more and more delimited. On the other hand, you have choice emerging, ironically, in the very limitations that are happening. As these limitations are happening, if they're met by fear, then the choices disintegrate and we disintegrate along with them, one way or another. But if you don't greet it with fear, know that with each delimitation, there are probably several doors of opportunity and possibility opening, and they're very close at hand. But the only way to see them and recognize them, which will be, of course, the solution to your dilemma and the creation of the kind of life you actually want, will open up. You still, as we all do, have to step into those doorways and act and take action. But you'll be surprised at how quickly you will feel supported by the universe when you do step into those open pathways as you proceed away from fear into an openness and a willingness to engage something brand new.
I absolutely agree with where you went with that, but I believe that it's fear that creates the limitations, not that the limitations are met with fear. Because in a state of love, there are no limitations. Let's say even if everything was taken away from you and you're stuck in this little hole, you're not in fear. All of a sudden, that little hole has lots of possibilities.
But there are limitations. Just the most obvious being an automobile accident. You lost the use of your limbs. I'm talking about for pragmatic, practical things. You don't have enough money to pay the student loan, to pay your mortgage. Those limitations, and then how we engage them is whether we engage them with fear or we embrace them creatively.
Right.
Oh, that was better. Thank you. I'd like to do a riff with you on It Depends.
It depends.
We're going to do it to this instrumental piece of music played by Mighty Orange. It depends upon how my foot lands on the grass and the way the whispers of air between each blade comes up to comfort and tickle the very souls of my being.
It depends. Everything depends on everything. I am so dependent on depending. Ah, that feels good to know. I'm dependent. I feel like a child swimming in the sea of my mother's womb. Without limitation, without the walls of the room, just the beautiful salubrious liquid that I can enjoy.
It depends on whether or not we stand up together and hold hands, clasp hands, give each other a high five, or slap each other in the back, or put our arms around each other's shoulders, or slap each other in the face.
Oh, it depends on how I feel about that. I don't like pain, so it depends. If you give me pain, will I like you? I don't think so. It depends. If you give me joy and pleasure, I know I will like you. It depends on what you do to me, that's for sure.
Well, this depends on what I choose to do to you, where I'm coming from, and what's transpired, and the context out of which I emerged, and the consciousness and the awareness, and whether I'm able to make distinction between light and gray and dark, and the calamitous intrusion of each will foreign to our individuality as it clamors to get inside of us and take over like a cancer cell occupying our very home base.
It depends. It depends on whether or not I'm open to love. It depends on whether or not I'm open to the creative urges within me. It depends on whether or not I choose what I really want and go for it. Steam, full steam, full steam ahead. It depends on my sense of myself when I claim myself in the universe in which I live.
It depends on my ability to crouch down and feel connected with the land and the earth and the stars and hold the walls of my being in a very careful, tender way so that my being is allowed to be supple and expand and contract as it merges with all those who also hang out in this thing called space, but which is really full of being, and we are just a very dense form of that being.
It depends. As I look upon your face, it depends how you make me feel. It depends on everything about my loving. It depends because I choose. It depends because I choose love. And because I choose love, I chose you.
I wanted to say something about depends the adult diapers, but I didn't think that was
not in that riff
would be as appropriate. But it does occur to me from time to time, you know, as I'm aging 73. But we won't go into there. It's more information than you need. Anyway, but it does depend, you see, on how you're able to keep your, well, keep your shit
bodily
together.
Fluids right. From flowing all over the place when you don't want them.
That's, okay, enough of that. But there are a lot of us getting older and...
Good for that.
What I would recommend is that we... start get ready to make our transition. What transition am I talking about? The transition to the next phase of our emergence. Because I see that consciousness has emerged into existence. Like I say, it's happy almost birthday, 13.5 billion years of the universe. What made it start then? Existence was kind of hanging around, and one day, after, you know, trillions of eons, it said, I'm bored. Let's begin something.
Right. Well, that's one way to look at it.
And so it kind of looked around at the rest of existence. It all seemed bored. Okay, let's have a beginning. We never had a beginning because we've always kind of been eternal, but let's be daring. Let's create a beginning and begin a bunch of things. Right out of little piece of condensed energy, and let's just explode it out and see what happens. Okay, we began it. That's so cool.
Well, it depends on your point of view.
It does depend upon your point of view. So back to who we are, in case you're just tuning in. Look at what you missed. What can I tell you? But it's available on our broadcast Sunday mornings, 8 a.m. Pacific time. That's when you can rehear Inside Out, The Naked Truth, with the removal of verbal blemishes. Yes. I edit these shows and I take out all the verbal blemishes that you poor folks who are listening live tonight have to endure. I'm sorry.
It depends.
On the other
hand, my reality depends on my verbal blemishes.
If you are okay with the fact that we're making it up as we go along and you're in the now live with us and you're contributing to what shows up, if we're all connected, then you're part of the dance. And so we're taking in some aspect of you as it moves its way through the inner spacious context that is shared awareness and consciousness, which is just moving in and out through everything. But if you take a bus, you get there faster.
And if you get a plane, well, no, then you have to take a bus. Then you have to take a car from the airport. You might be better off walking.
Actually, what I find is when I get still, really still, when I stop my mind from churning out thoughts and their relations and just be still and be open to a reality that has nothing to do with my normal perception of life. Nothing. Be willing to just let it go and see what shows up. That is a great place to be. It's a little scary at first because you don't know what's going to show up. And then you realize that's the point. It depends on you not knowing what's going to show up, but being open to receive it. For that to happen, it depends on a certain trust. And that, in turn, depends on you've had some experience of trust, are drawn to it, and recognize the possibility of that trust surging forth from you. But that costs extra.
When I'm with our granddaughter, who's two, and who's definitely not been betrayed at this point in her life, at least she hasn't felt that way, her openness to everything is so huge. And what she does in any moment is not predictable. Maybe after a while you can sort of predict it, but right now, the amazement that she has for everything amazes me. So I have that amazement with her. I realize that a lot of my life is like that. A lot of my life is making it up on the spot. I try very hard to improvise my life all the time. There are things that I do by rote. Even brushing my teeth, I really try every now and then to get into a different place with brushing my teeth so it is brand new and it doesn't seem like the same thing I did yesterday, even though the strokes are pretty much the same. I'm childlike that way, I guess. Depends.
It wouldn't be a Depend song without this gal singing.
I can be happy. I can be sad. I can be good. Or I can be bad. It all depends on you. I can be lonely out in a crowd. I can be humble, or I can be proud. It all on you. I can save money or spend it, go right on living or end it. You're to blame, honey, for what I do. I can be beggar, I can be king, I can be almost any old thing. It all depends on you.
If you know who that was?
I think so, but you tell me.
Doris Day.
I thought it was Doris Day.
From a movie called Love Me or Leave Me.
That's right, where she played this singer.
With James Cagney.
Her name was Etta Etheridge.
Oh, was it a real person?
Yeah, she was a blues singer. That was a codependent song.
Exactly. Well, there is that. There is codependent. And for those of you who are not familiar with codependency, I would venture to say that half of us are codependent, or we have codependent rising.
That's a sign that a lot of people were born under.
But think about what a codependent is. A simple, quickie definition is someone who takes care or feels responsible for something or someone else at the expense of themselves and their own welfare and benefit. And then you have people who take the other tack, which is have no regard for any of them and only take care of yourself.
Selfish.
There you go. So we've got the codependent enabler, and then we got the addict narcissist at the dance.
And it all depends on who you want to be with.
And to a certain extent, our show depends on our sponsors, Jeremy Bead and Go Raw. Both of whom, I don't know if they know each other, but they're both like at a high level of terrificness.
I would agree.
Go check out Go Raw product. You'll be glad you did. I like to review, but before that, before I forget, I want to give you my email, because I'd so love to hear from you, just to know you're there, and if anything we've shared has touched you, or you've been touched by it, or you want to say touche, you can email me at eStrider@gmail.com. That's what I've decided my email voice is.
Good one.
We're here Tuesday nights, 7 p.m. We broadcast spruced up for life and you on Sunday mornings, for those of you who lie back in your beds and go, ooh, give me some Errol and Rochelle this morning. But it all depends on something that we have to remember. What is that, Rochelle?
Resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
It depends.